this is a, this pulpit was built for me. I can hang on both sides. But anyway, we're glad to be here this morning. We thank y'all for allowing us to come and share a few minutes with you. Need your prayers, because most of y'all know me good enough. Know I can make a mess of about anything, but with God's help, we can do anything. So I need his help this morning. I need your prayers. This is kind of a start of 2 weeks for me and my dear wife, Sherry. We leaving in the morning, going to Wyoming and Yellowstone and all that, and celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. So y'all pray for her. She's been a tough woman. She's been a tough woman. But it's kind of, I don't know if I ever really thought myself of being an encourager, but that's what's on my mind this morning, to come and encourage y'all. That was my thought before he even said that. And it's not the easiest of times. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things happening. Sometimes we don't know which way to go. And maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all got it all figured out. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God is still on the throne. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is still at his right hand. He's still making intercession for us. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of God's church and God's people. And there's going to be a supper one day. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he's not going to be there by himself. God has got a remnant. He's always had a remnant. And he's still got a remnant. He is going to save all that he so chooses to save and be a part of that remnant. But I'm going to be in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now, Brother Paul, I like the writings of Brother Paul, Apostle Paul. I spent a lot of time there and been spending a lot of time in Romans. And God has showed me a lot of things there, and I hope he would allow me to share some of them with you this morning. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. He writes, I say then, hath God cast away his people? There's a question mark there, and he says, God forbid. For I also am Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, God forbid that he's cast away his people. He's still on the throne. He's still got a people. And he's going to have a people. He's going to, there's proof right there of Brother Paul. He was a Jew, lived there. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, born of the tribe of Benjamin. But God had saved him. He had met a man named Jesus on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever and put a call upon his life to go and preach to the Gentiles. But you know, this is free. This is what Paul wants to say. But you know, every town he went into, he never gave up on his own people. He never gave up on his own people. Every town he went into, I mean, he went there because God had sent him there, and God had sent him to preach to the Gentiles. But what's one of the things that he would do? He would go to the synagogue and preach to the Israelites. And by the end of that missionary journey and all, there was a lot of Gentiles was coming to the synagogue just to hear him preach, you know. But he was spreading God's word. Now, thinking about Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:22, Paul says, are they Hebrews? He says, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. God made a promise to Abraham one time, and he keeps his promises. It may not be the way they thought he would. And sometimes in our life too, he may not get to pour his blessings out upon us the way he would desire to. Because of why? Because of our disobedience. Because of their disobedience. They wandered around out in the wilderness. I got to get to where I wanted to go. But wandering around out there in the wilderness for 40 years for one reason. Cause of disobedience. Disobedience. What did he say? 2 Samuel chapter 15. He says that obedience is better than sacrifice. They done spent all that time in Leviticus and Exodus and Numbers and all, and Deuteronomy telling us about sacrifice, but he said, Obedience is better. Obedience is better. But he goes on and says, in verse 2, he says, God hath not cast away his people. Hey, we've been adopted in. We his people now. We're part of that church. We're part of that church that Jesus Christ died for. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith to Elias, which was Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying. But back up there first. God has not cast away his people whom he had foreknown. Now, I heard Brother Jesse say one time, standing right here, might have been the old pulpit, I don't remember, but standing right here, and he said he had been accused of not being able to preach a sermon without reading some scripture out of the 8th chapter of Romans. You remember saying that, brother? Anyway, I want to read two verses out of the 8th. Go back and look at that. God has not cast away his people for whom he foreknew. Look at chapter 8 of Romans in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. For whom he did foreknow. Then ones that he had chosen before the foundation of the world, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, don't forget this. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. Each one that he predestinated. Jesus said that all that the Father has given me, I have not lost none. And all that he chose before the foundation of the world, he predestinated to be children of God. Jesus died for it, and he justified them on that day at the cross at Calvary. And justification in my simple mind means he when he got through, it was just as if they had never sinned. He washed them up, he cleaned them up, and made them new again. But all those that Jesus chose before the foundation of the world and predestined and Jesus died for and justified, that Holy Spirit's going to call sometime. It might be on your deathbed, it might be, but that Holy Spirit's going to call. And I want to tell you something, we can't tell who is and who ain't. They don't stamp them on the head. So that's why Jesus said the second most important commandment there is to love our neighbor as ourself. And treat them all like they are brothers. I tell you what, you be nice to us. They might want to know, what you being so nice for? And you say, hold on just a minute. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Because, brother, it ain't me. It's all him. It's all the God that saved me. All the Jesus that died for me. But let's go. But think about what he said there in the last part. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against us. Well, you remember the story of Elijah. And I don't want to take up all my time there, but that could be a sermon. I mean, just about. Ahab. Ooh, he had a woman that, she definitely wore the pants in the family. But he was worshiping a false god. He was worshiping Ahab. And that needs to be with a little A. But Ahab. And it'd been a drought for 3.5 years, and God told Elijah he was going to send some rain, and Elijah challenged him. He said, you get your sacrifice, and you put it on the altar here, and you pray for your God to burn it up. And y'all know the story. Y'all heard it many times. And they tried, and they hollered, and they hooped, and they cut themselves, and Elijah picked them a little bit. He said, is he asleep? Can he hear? Is he gone somewhere? Is he too busy? And then they cleaned up their mess, and Elijah cut up his offering and put it on that altar, stacked up them rocks, 12 rocks, 12, representing 12 tribes of Israel, put the stones upon that, but dug a ditch around it and poured water twice. I can't remember now, 4 barrels of water or something, but done it twice, and then he called down for God to ignite that sacrifice, and the God, the only God, the true God, did just that. And then he killed them 400 prophets of Baal. He didn't figure they needed to live. But then he got scared. We got worried. Now, sometime after a big thing, I mean, Monday sometime or Sunday afternoon, sometimes the worst time for a preacher. He'll go home and he'll start thinking about all them things he said. I try not to do that. And I don't even really like to watch myself because I, you know, but you start thinking, that, well, did I do that right? Did I say that right? Did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I do what God told me to do? But that's kind of what Elijah done got into the funk. He done got it, the prayer. And remember, Jezebel was hunting him, and he got worried and all that. And he cried. He got to thinking, Lord, is it just me? Have you ever felt that way? Am I fighting this battle by myself? Is the church here at McClendon the only ones that's doing it right? Now, some of our forefathers thought they might have been in the Primitive Baptist, kind of thought it was just them and their pilchers, the only ones going to heaven. But we know better than that. Anybody that God has foreknown, everybody that Jesus has died for, and everybody that the Holy Spirit called, they all go to heaven. There ain't going to be no denominations in heaven. That's a man-made thing. It's going to be we got school teachers in our church, and they try to help me and teach me. But shake your head. But I learned that a common denominator. You know what the common denominator is? Jesus. Everybody's going to be there because of what Jesus has done. Let's see. He says in verse 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets. Oh, yes, they had. You know, it said in Matthew 23:31, wherefore be ye, Jesus said, wherefore be ye with it. Be ye, let me restart over, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. He sent people to tell them about it, and they killed them, and they buried them. He sent his only begotten son into this world to come and die for him, the chain thing, and they killed him. Boy, I get tickled at Peter over in Acts. Peter, after he denied Christ 3 times, and after he'd been filled with that Holy Spirit, and after he preached on that day of Pentecost, he didn't mind telling them. No, they would get on to him and tell him, you got to be quiet. He said, who am I supposed to listen to, God or man? Oh, that's kind of easy now for us. But he'd tell them, you who killed, what's that, crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He called it like it was. But goes on and says here in chapter 3, think about Paul. Paul was living in a time much like the time of Elijah. There wasn't a lot of people. I mean, remember, don't forget who Paul was when he was Saul, before he met a man named Jesus. Some of y'all got a past. And all that Jesus died for, don't bring it back up, because he took away. He cast it from the east and the west. And if you're laying in bed at night and you start thinking about, Lord, I wish I hadn't have done that. No, that ain't God. That's the old Satan trying to rob you of a little bit of your joy. Don't let him do it. In the name of Jesus, Satan, get behind me. Just like he told Peter, get behind me. But he was facing a lot of persecution. He was facing a lot of troubles. He was facing the same people he met with, worshiped with, the same people that he went to school with to learn all about the law and all. They didn't like him now, and they finally ended up killing him. But that kind of took a while to do that. But much like the time that Elijah lived in some ways, it's kind of like that today. It's kind of like that today. But I'm going to tell you, we're living in a pretty good day. We don't need to get our eyes and our minds caught up in the woe is me. We need to look around a little bit. You know, we got people fussing because the president of the United States read from the Book of Chronicles from the Oval Office. They fussing about it. They don't need to do that. It's supposed to be separated. Hey, we need God. We need God. That's been a long time coming. To have a president like that. And I don't agree with everything he does, but he did read the Bible. We got a Secretary of State that is missing in the name of God and talking about there's no way but Jesus. We got Secretary of War. Every time he gets up, he talks about God and we needing God's help and praying for our troops. You ain't heard that a whole lot. Celebrate that. Encourage them. Pray for them. Somebody, Brother Tom might, or somebody mentioned, you might, about praying for our leaders, but pray for our service people, our that's overseas and at home, and fighting for our freedoms, that we got the freedoms to come here and meet the way God has led us, that we ain't got to do it the way some king or president tells us. We ain't got to do it the way the government tells us. We can do it the way God has told us. But it's much, I mean, but God's doing a work now. I know we get caught up. We I've been preaching this little church since, I've been pastor since 18, and it's just us and a few more sometimes. But in the last few months, God has blessed us with increase. I got to do a baptism. I got to baptize my grandson, and I got to baptize another young. Well, he's about 30 years old. He ain't that young to me. But, you know, God has given increase. But let me tell you what happened yesterday. And I got to get on with the text here. I got called, my sister called me. She said my grandson is getting baptized at 7 o'clock. And they'd been to a little youngin', what you call it, youth camp, something, down there by Laurel Walker, and they was going to go across the road, go to the lake there and have baptism. And there was four going to get baptized. But my brother is the pastor of that little church. And they're not Primitive Baptists, but they believe in Jesus just like I do, you know. I think he might be wrong on a thing or two, but we don't talk about those things. We talk about Jesus and the good in our Lord and Savior. But before they got through there, he baptized 12 heads. There was a moving of the Holy Spirit. Look at the good things. Don't dwell on the bad things. Praise God, he's working. Praise God that he's still on the throne. Praise God he is still King of Kings. And you ain't raised your hand every time back there. You quit playing that grin. You know, okay. You know, first time she done that, I thought she had a question. But Anyway, but look there. He said, Lord, they have, this is Elijah talking, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone. Probably ain't none of y'all felt like that. Brother Mike might be, Michael. I mean, you get to be a pastor sometime, and I know y'all love on him, and y'all take care of him and all that, and he needs it. We need encouraging. We need help. We need, hey, we need, you know, sometimes he might just need somebody to ride somewhere with him. You know, and I know y'all told me not to never ride with Brother David, but Brother Michael's a better driver, I think. You know, but I hope. But anyway, but he was having his worm party, wasn't he? Oh, woe is me. I'm the only one left, God. There's none other. There's and old Jezebel, she's wounding up a posse to come get me now. But he says, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. They seek my life. I want to read a scripture right quick, like from Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is truth. And I want to tell you something right here. Put your finger there just a minute. You know, I ain't been called to tell you what I've done or what I'm going to do or what I'm thinking and all that. If I've been called, if God's called me to preach, he's called me to preach his word. Because he give us his word, he give us this instruction book, he give us this to live by, and he give us this to proclaim. But anyway, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believeth. For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God, which is in Judea and in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. In verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. But look back over at Elijah just a minute. He's feeling like He's all alone. Hey, hey, that's why Christ died for the church. And he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Yes, it's to come and sing a song or two or four or five. Yes, it's that. We are not singing those because we can sing pretty. We sing in praises unto our God. Yes, it's a time that's set aside to come. And y'all pray hard enough. God will give Brother Michael a message from God to hear. Yes, yes, that's a fault. But you know what it also says there? And then, what is that? That's Hebrews. I think chapter 10. I ain't sure. But he says, forsake not to assemble thyself together. And much more as the time approaches. But he says, what does he say right here? We forget that a lot of time. Encouraging one another. Hey, you can watch this service on TV now. Or not TV. What you call it? Yeah, the internet. And you can do, hey, well, we're putting ours on YouTube now. And so that proves there is something good on YouTube, a little bit. But I want to tell you, I can sit there, and Mama, when COVID come, Mama said, you know, that ain't all bad. I ain't got to put my clothes on. I can sit there in my jammers and go to church. Yes, you can hear the singing. Yes, you can hear the preaching. But you can't get the neck hugs. You can't get the I loves you. You can't have that personal contact. We got a ministry at the nursing home, and you can them people that get out of their rooms and get out there with the other people and hug necks and talk and participate. And all, their mind stays a whole lot better. When you shut yourself up in the room, don't go to church, don't do nothing, we get that woe is me a lot of times. I can't just sit there. I got to get out and go. I got to be amongst people. I got to be, and especially God's people. Amen. But anyway, Elijah, we got to read that next verse. Amen. Hold on a minute. The answer, even, let's see, verse 4, but what saith the answer of, what, thus saith the Lord. What's God say? Huh? What's the Lord say about it? He said, thus saith the Lord. Or who saith, but what saith the answer of God unto him? Sometimes things ain't what we think, are they? He said, I have reserved to myself. He didn't say he reserved them for Elijah, but he said, I have reserved them to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image Baal. Elijah wasn't alone. We ain't alone. We ain't alone. We ain't in this thing together. You know, God, hey, I'll tell you something even better than our brothers and sisterly love. You know we pass from death unto life when we love our brother. But Jesus told the disciples in John 14. He said, I got to go back to heaven. I'm fixing to ascend back up into heaven to be at my Father's right hand. But you ain't got to finish this race up by yourself. You ain't got to finish up this Christian life that he's blessed you with by yourself. He said, I'm going to send a comforter to walk alongside of you and to hold your hand. And to hold your hand. But they have not bowed bowed a knee to the image of Baal. Now, there's a couple of things about King James Bible, and it's good. I love it. I mean, that's what I cut my teeth on. You know, sometimes they say, well, you're talking like King James Bible. But I don't think Baal ought to be capital B. And I think anytime it mentions Jesus or God, it should be a capital. And sometimes, but anyway, that's just me. But let's go on. Let's see. Oh, you remember in chapter 6? Of Isaiah, when the temple was filled with the smoke, and God was telling him what he needed to do, and old brother, I might have said Elijah, but I meant Isaiah in chapter 6, Isaiah, and he said, you know, you need to go and preach this word. And he said, send me. Here, send me. I'll go. I'll be. But God told him, he said, don't expect big crowds. Don't expect it. He's way better than Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet because nobody didn't pay him no attention. But he said, don't expect a big turnout. Don't expect a big reaction to the word I'm giving you to do. And he says, Let's see if I can find it right quick. He says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, he says, "And he said, go tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, at least they see with their eyes and hear with the ears and understand with the heart and convert and be healed." Excuse me. "And be healed." And he says in verse 11, "Then say I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord had moved men far away." And the Lord hath moved men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. But, boy, anytime you see a but, most it's good. But yet, in it shall be a tenth," which means remnant or a people. There's going to be some that's going to get this. There's going to be some, you know, you'll preach your heart out sometime, and you don't think you preached to anybody, nobody ain't understood nothing you said and all that, and somebody will come and tell you, he said, "Brother, you preached exactly what I need to hear this morning." You know what I tell them? Well, thank the good Lord, because I made a mess out of things. Thank the Lord if it has touched your heart. I can't touch nobody's heart. I can preach his word, and God does the touching. God does the changing. But anyway, it says, "But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as an teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them, which they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." They're fixing to be captured. They're fixing to be captured by Babylon. They're fixing to go to Babylon. They're fixing to be separated. They ain't going to have no temple. They ain't going to have no, all the things that they are used to. You think that's the end of God? You think God give up? You think God didn't know, you know, there won't be a few people, just a remnant according to the election of grace, that should be called and saved amidst all the blindness and the dark and the destruction that should come upon the people. You know, but you got to think, then while the Jews were captive in Israel, most of them refused to turn back to God or stay with their belief. But, hey, y'all know all these people. How about old Brother Daniel? He went in the lion's den instead of doing what old King wanted him to do. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I don't know if my faith's that strong. They went into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than hot. I don't know how you get hotter than hot, but it was seven times hotter. Hey, it was so hot, the people throwing them in got burned up. And old Nebuchadnezzar sitting there, you know, the old fat self, because he ate, he liked me, he enjoyed eating, I reckon. But, and he said, "How many people did we put in that furnace?" They said, "Well, we threw three in there." And he said, "Well, there's four in there. And one of them's likened unto the Son of God." Wow. Wow. Them Hebrew children didn't know that. Them Hebrew children didn't know that God was going to do what he did. But they had faith. They know no matter here or there that God was going to take care of them. Absent from the bodies, present with the Lord. You know, anyway. But that ain't all. You got Daniel. You got Ezekiel. You got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You got old brother Mordecai. He stayed with the stuff. You know, told his niece, you know, "You got to do this for the people." You know, remember old Esther? You know, they remained, even when they was away from their people, even when they was away from their land, they remained faithful unto the Lord. they remain faithful unto the Lord. God is going to have a remnant. Even so then, verse 5, even so then, at this present time, Paul says, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Hey, they might have killed Jesus. They might have killed the prophets. They might have done this and done that. But there's still a remnant, old brother Paul said. There is. I said, and he goes on and said, God did not choose these remnants, these people that were saved. He did not choose these remnants because of their foreseen faith. People say, well, you talk about the doctrine of election and predestination. What you say? Don't you think that God just knew there was going to be? No, God called them to be faithful. God called them. He put that in them. He born that in them. And they didn't get chosen for foreseen faith and their own good works. We know better than that. God gave them faith in His. God gave them faith in Him. They believed because He gave them the ability to believe by His grace. By His grace. Although the nation had rejected Jesus, the leaders had killed Him. Well, we won't go into that. We ain't got time. Had killed Him. John 1:1 says He came into His own. His own received Him not. But there were many that came to faith in Him. You say, well, how did that happen? Well, remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 8. For, all y'all know this, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God I didn't have to figure out how to do it on my own. Thank God I ain't got to go home night and wonder if I done everything right. Because you know why? Because I didn't do nothing to start with. Jesus done it all. God done it all. So I can go home and rest comfortably in my bed at night and sleep. Well, I can't sleep long. We got to catch the plane. But you know, I ain't got to worry about that. God's got that in His hands. God's got, you know what He tells us in John 10? He said, each one that the Father give me, I have not lost none. They are in my, this is paraphrase from South Georgia. All that He give me, they are resting in my hand, and my hand is in God's hand, and no man can pluck them out. And that's including you. You can't lose what you didn't do nothing to get. Anyway, as we look on, you know, those that He foreknew were saved by His grace. That is why we sang the song. You ain't gonna, it's a few things gonna happen in South Georgia. You might hear at a funeral or a graveside, you might hear the 23rd Psalm. It might be read. Funeral home man told me that's one of the most things he hears, most of the other things. And especially if you Primitive Baptist, you might hear Amazing Grace. Because that's the only way to describe it. It's amazing. People can't understand that. They want to be able to do something. And we don't have to do nothing. By God's grace are we saved, not of works. And I ain't going to talk about the lady, but did He know us men? If we ever get something right, if a wife ever told you, you done a good job there. You know, we won't brag. We won't call my buddy and tell him, you know. And God knew that. But we done nothing. It was a gift from God, that amazing grace. Even so then, in Paul's time, God was doing was going to have a remnant. He was doing a work. He was doing what God does. His church that Jesus died for and the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We see in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hey, you think God was moving? The Spirit of God was moving? That he was saving people? He was making them whole, saving my soul and making them whole? You don't think he wasn't? I mean, look at that. It ain't the only place. This is in Paul's time. This is Peter preached on it there. Look at Acts 4:4. How be it, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men were about 5,000. And I got to thinking on that. Where have we heard 5,000 at? Oh, he fed 5,000. And it said men there. And most preachers that preach, well, they just counting the men because that's what they thought was important. But if you counted women and children that was probably with them men that day, that he fed the 5,000, it might have been as many as 20,000 people there. Or are they doing the same thing here? Are they just counting the men? Was there some women got saved too and some children that got saved? Hey, you reckon this 5,000 that heard the word and believed that day? You reckon there's some of that 5,000 that he fed out there in the wilderness that he took just two pieces of bread and five fishes and fed five? I don't know. But I wonder if it was more than just that 5,000 that day. God is still today. I done shared with you. God today is still adding to his church. He is still working among his people. He is still on the throne. Jesus is still at his right hand. He's still saving those that he has foreknown before the foundation. He's still working. Remember, he shall save his people. What is that? Matthew 1:21. He shall. It didn't say he would try. You know, I told Brother Michael I'd try to come today. And praise God that it worked out. But I didn't know. Because sometimes I got good intentions and it don't work out that way. But God don't work that way. Jesus don't work that way. It didn't say he'd try to save nobody from their sins. It said he shall save his people from their sins. And amen, he's did it, and he's doing it, and he's going to do it. Amen. Look at verse 7 back over here. We got to read 6 and 7. Back over there in Romans 11. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more works. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh. Not what they thought was going to happen. They studied the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, and they thought they knew everything, but it wasn't quite working like they thought it was going to work. Israel had not attained that which he seeketh for. But the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The election. Those that God foreknow before the foundation of the world, and he predestined to be children of God, to be adopted into family. The elect men, women, and children that God has so chose. By the elect, Paul means the elect, the remnant. You know what he means today? He means the church. And yes, there's Gentiles in the church, but there's Jews in the church. There's women in the church. There's men in the church. There's children in the church. I heard he walked to Primitive Baptist. He got asked this question at a college campus. This girl asked him, he said, I was 9 years old. I joined the church and got baptized. She said, but now I'm 23, and I'm doubting that. And he said, ma'am, he said, probably what you done when you was 9 years old is more important than what you thinking now. Because back then you didn't do no thinking. You just trusted and obeyed. And now you got older and you think you know so much and you trying to think it all out and figure it all out. Don't let your thinking get in the way of you believing. It don't matter if I don't understand it all. God is still God. He's still on the throne. Among them who God has reserved for himself. Can you imagine? He's coming again. He's coming again. He's going to come back. All those that have preceded us in death, he's coming back with their soul and their spirit. And them dead in Christ shall rise first. And glorified body. And that soul, spirit to be reunited. And we're going to go back to that new Jerusalem, that new heaven, that new and spend eternity with God. But there's going to be a supper. And it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he knew how hard-headed we was. Now, you think about Adam and Eve. They was put in the Garden of Eden. Some people believe much like what that New Jerusalem may be like one day. I don't know. They didn't tell them, don't do this and don't do that. They said, you can do about anything you want and you can eat from anything. But just don't do this one thing. And they did it. And God knew how we were. How, not were, are. And he knew that we need a little help. And we weren't going to make it on our own. And thank God for that help. But don't, I got a minute or two. Let me do this right here. And don't forget about that. Jesus ain't done yet. He's coming back. I don't know when. I know one thing. It's closer than it's ever been. It's nearer than it was yesterday. Are we living like we believe that? Are we living like, you know, when you're young, you don't think much about how short life is. And when you get my age, you realize you ain't here but a little while. Time passes on. And whether Jesus comes back or it's your time to go to heaven, that soul and spirit, I mean, that time's a coming. That time's a coming. Don't forget, Jesus is coming again. He is returning to earth. It ain't going to be a two or three different thing. He ain't coming to rapture and all that. He's coming to gather his people that he died for together and to carry them home with him. And not for a day, but forever and ever, for an eternity. Carry them home to heaven. I don't, why do preachers say this? I'm going to say it because I've heard it all my life. They say a heaven and a mortal glory. You know, or it goes, it's immortal, glorious. But that's what he's coming to do. Let me read one little bit here, and I promise. I'll hush. Turn in your Bible if you want to Acts chapter 1. Listen to this. Acts chapter 1. Starting in verse 8. But he's talking to the church. He could be saying this if Brother Luke, whoever, he could be preaching that here this morning. He could say, but ye shall receive, or us have received, if you're a child of God, you have been indwelled and filled with the Holy Spirit, shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. That's like saying, church at McClintic, y'all need to be living. Hey, you need to be preaching Jesus every day. Hey, by your life, the way you live, the way you deal with things. And if you have to, use words. You know, our actions is more important than the words a lot of times. I come up here and tell you all this stuff that you ought to do, that I do, want to, and I go out there and live like the devil and live like the world. You ain't going to pay no attention to me or nobody else. But when we lose a loved one, we go through a hard time, and people say, how you? Why ain't you down there wallering and crying and carrying on and all this? And you say, we don't mourn as a people with no hope. Our hope is on Jesus Christ and his blood. Hold on just a minute. But that's like saying, McClintic, Florida, and the whole United States or the whole world, wherever we go. Me and Sherry's going on vacation in the morning. We got to get up 4 o'clock. We leave in Jacksonville about 8, you know, on one of them big planes and all that stuff. But I don't leave Jesus. Hey, I get on an airplane. I want Jesus with me, you know. It'd be a short trip then, but. You know, when I get on the ground out there, I don't leave my beliefs and my thinking and my thought and all. Y'all know it. Just y'all overlook me. But home, I'm gonna carry them with me. You don't know it, boy. That we went to the Grand Canyon last year and just start talking about Jesus. I mean, sometimes you might get the cold shoulder, but more times than not, you're gonna strike up a pretty good conversation. Pretty conversation. You'll find out things about other beliefs and other nominations you didn't know. And you might find, anyway, I don't want to go there. But, and read the next verse. And when he had spoken these things, talking about Jesus, when they beheld he was taken up, he ascended back up into heaven, taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward him, what would you do? I'd be looking. I'd be sitting there thinking. Now, there's a man that was dead 40 days ago, and he put him in a grave, but the grave couldn't hold him. And by him having victory over the grave, he's took the sting out of my death, and he's given me victory over the grave, too. And he's got this glorified body. You know, he told him in Luke, I got to get through. In Luke chapter 24, he said, I'm not no ghost. He said, feel on me. I'm bones and skin. And he told him, and I don't know if we're going to have to eat in heaven, but he might have been doing this just to show that he was there. He said, I'm hungry. What you got to eat? And they said, well, we got some broiled fish. You need fried fish, but they said broiled. And some honeycomb. He said, well, give it to me. And he ate. But now they the same Jesus that they seen the Jews kill, hung on the cross and put in a grave and rose again on the third day. He's standing before them and they see him descend up into heaven. And they standing there looking, and their two angels has happened to show up. And they said, let's see, let me find my place. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming again. He's coming again. We need to, I need to live. I'll let y'all decide for yourself. I need to live each and every day like this is the day. Well, that's two things there. This is the day that the Lord has made, and he told us to rejoice in it. But live today like this is the day he's coming back. If he come back today, it costs me living my life the way I live. Am I going to be ashamed and try to run and hide and clean up, go wash my face or whatever? Or can I say, come on, Lord Jesus, come on, come on. Let's go home. We've been waiting for this. You know, after we spend 2 weeks out here, the whole home's going to look good. But that don't compare to nothing compared to the our heavenly home that he has prepared for us. It's closer than it's ever been. And the older I get, each day that I live, I long for it more and more. Anyway, love y'all. Thank y'all for allowing me to come, putting up with me. Love y'all's pastor. Y'all look out for him. Keep him around a few years.